I got a fever, and the only prescription is more cowbell.
They have got the man out wide. It's McGilvray for the corner, and McGilvray is in.
Welcome back to the Talking with Giants podcast. It's episode 4, and we're here to celebrate a win. 50 points we put on Castleford on Friday night. Jake and Nat with me as always. Still buzzing, boys.
Yeah, great performance in the end, yeah. What we're expecting, really. I think none of us thought the outcome were going to be that at half-time, but credit to them, yeah.
Yeah, we'll get straight into it then. So, obviously, Cass away. It's always, you know, cliche, it's a tough place to go, but it is, isn't it? Let's be honest. But really, we dominated for pretty much all the game. Yeah, Jake, what's your views on how the game was?
Yeah, I thought we started really well, really strong, broke them down. I think a bad error let them kind of back in the game. I think that'd be one of Ian Watson's takeaways from the game, as in, if you were going to criticise the team, the two tries Cass scored in his senior would have never scored them two type of tries playing for Giants. I thought he did really well to get over, but thought we were quite poor defensively. Went in at half-time and I thought we'd pretty much dominate the first half. Cass came out probably the better team for the first 15-20 minutes, probably 15 minutes at second half, where I thought they had a bit of a sniff, where if they'd have gone over, where they knocked over on try line, the game could have gone a different way, but obviously that helped us and it seemed to spur us on. And then once we got on top, I think Cass buckled, and seen some tries from us there that I've not seen for a few years, to be honest. Particularly the last one where Alsall made the break and then we went full length at field to score. Quite refreshing to see that.
Not a score from range, is it? I suppose The caveat to that was Cass were probably given up a bit. But
I think they're thrown in towel at that point, yeah. Yeah. But
Nat, were you ever worried during the game that we wouldn't come away with the 2 points?
No, not personally. I think the one thing I walked away from the game on Friday saying was, I was really impressed with his attitude from minute one. I know we have a tendency of going places like Castleford and not turning up with the right attitude, expecting to win and then getting turned over. We're quite good at that, but it seemed that we obviously got them fired up and we had the right mentality and attitude to go there. And that really showed from minute one. I think we marched downfield in the first set, might have made an error or give a penalty, but then we give an error, penalty, they're attacking his line and we showed up in defence, and then from then I thought we took full control of the first half. I don't think we were out of control of that. It was good to see us move the ball out wide and a few passes, get those edges involved rather than trying to march down the middle. Come second half, I know they had a bit of possession on our line, but apart from the try they scored, like I say, good finish by Innes, but also I think poor defending from Kev and Sam also on that right edge for that bit. They had that one knock on the line, but apart from that, you know, that knock on the line probably half a chance. Apart from that, they never looked like scoring passes. I thought the scramble were good. Like I said, the effort came in fantastic all for 80 minutes. And the other pleasing part was, yeah, people said that Cass give up, and yeah, probably agree, but we put his foot down too and put points on them, and we never normally do that. But what we did in that final 15-20 minutes is what a Saints and Wigan do to teams when they give up and they go put 50 points on you. And I think that's another pleasing aspect of finally that's what we did, showing that we have the right attitude and mentality to go and stick points on the team when you got the chance.
Yeah. I watched the game back when I got home actually from the game Friday, and the thing that struck me was the amount of meters we were making in comparison to them. It kept showing up on the graphic on screen. I think there was one point, it was Cass were on 200 odd and we were on nearly 700. So that, yeah, like you said, that reflects how we were marching them downfield, which is really pleasing, and we scored points off the back of it. Nat, have you got any standout stats, whether team or individual, to talk us through?
Yeah, just perfectly timed what you've just said. One of them were actually meters that made. So Cast made 1,138. We made 1,620. So that's 482 more meters that we made in the game, which obviously showed probably our dominance. I know you could probably say, what, 200 of them were from the last couple of tries, where Leroy brought 30 yards, and like I said, Tui and Sam went 80 from the kickoff. So it all adds up, but I think that shows our dominance of how dominant we were in the meters. Again, the completion rate, Cass were at 57% and we was at 93%. And what I said only 2 weeks ago, when your teams are completing at 93, 95, 98 what percent, they're going to be very hard to beat. So if we carry on completing at 93%, we're going to be a tough team to beat if we show the right attitude and defence, like I think we have done all year so far, apart from probably 10, 15 minutes at Wigan. Errors-wise, Cass made 19 and we made 8. So again, as errors are down from where they were the previous 2 weeks. Again, is that because we're only playing Cass? Who knows? But what all kept saying that's something that they're working on is just cutting the errors out. So obviously that worked on Friday night. And just the other one from team stats where Cass missed 40 tackles and we only missed 23. Now 23 might be a lot, but I suppose if your opposition is missing 40, I think I saw a stat as well. London missed 60 tackles against Wigan on Saturday afternoon, which you can't really afford to be missing 40, 60 tackles a game. That's going to kill you. Player stats was tackling-wise was Leroy leading the way again with 42. Ashton Golding, who probably played about 55, 60 minutes at 9 with 35. Luke Yates off the bench with 28, but I suppose we'll see. I think we'll see Yates in that every week now in the top five. Now he's back because, you know, that's what we all know him for in his defence. Hewitt, 25, and Chris Hill, 23. So, you know, Leroy Lindner, I think he only missed one, maybe none as well, and then 42 tackles, so another top effort from one of his own. Meters-wise, obviously, again, we had 5 players over 100 metres, which is quite impressive for those who, you know, we get a lot of stick for the way we attack, and a lot of our fans don't like the way we attack. So we have Sam Allsall with 174, which obviously will be helped in the last bit, but shows how good he was coming out of yardage as well, I feel. Eason Masters again up there with 168, just carrying on his good form for this season. Adam Swift, 162. Obviously had 70, 80 off one, off his second try, but all adds up. Leroy, 132. And Ollie Russell, 121. So just keeps impressing. I really like him at 6. I think he's forming a good relationship here now with Jake and Kaluna. I think them three are settled and going well, so hopefully we'll just see that blossom as further on. And I just made another note that Jake Connor made 93 yards, because I know the week before in the stands he came in for a bit of criticism and everyone was the ball in. If he's making 93 yards, but again, is that just because we're on top or not? We'll never know. Sort of thing, we'll have to see how the season pans out. But I thought he was very impressive as well himself on Friday night.
Yeah, just quickly on that, I don't see, he didn't have to run the ball in. He's got two wingers there next to him. I don't see the problem personally, but anyway.
No, I'm weird. Yeah. He's not the sort of running fullback, is he? But I'd rather run it in than chuck
it. I think the issue is that people get fed up of it when the pass to the winger's quite far and it's not really on, and it's easier for him just to turn around and take the tackle and try find a gap rather than try sling it out and risk one of your wingers knocking on or putting them under pressure, especially when Wallace is particularly like quite young and a bit raw. But I feel a lot more confident Sam Allsall running ball in. Is a lot stronger.
Yeah. But Connor, you got 2 try assists. So, is that right? Yeah, 2 try assists, I think.
He was involved in everything.
Took a bit of grief as well throughout the whole game as well, jokingly from our fans, but from Castleford fans, it seemed to spur him on, to be honest.
Yeah.
If that's all it takes, then I'll call him that every week before a game, if that's all it's going to take.
Yeah, I thought that was an encouraging display from Jake. On to our Jake. Who stood out for you?
Sam Allsall for me. I mean, I was at the toilet break when he'd made that error, and obviously come back, everyone were giving me a load of jip saying, your favourite player's knocked on. but then I thought he bounced back from that quite well. His carries took 2 good tries. You know, a bit iffy for that defensive read for Innes' second try, but I think me personally, I think that was down to Nakama, who shot out a bit too soon. But apart from that, I thought his meters were great. Thought it was his first game back as well after not playing the first few were pretty impressive. But can't knock anyone other day, really. I think forwards did pretty steady job. I won't say any at forwards really stood out. But for me, probably Alsol and probably Clune. I thought he came into his own. Whether it was just because it was Cass, who knows. But I've always said a few of our players all seem to do better against the lower teams. But then can't seem to back it up when you're playing teams at top of the table. But that little chip over and finish that he did, you know, we've not seen up like that for a while as well. So that were also refreshing to see.
Yeah. I feel like I say it every week, but Leroy just... Oh.
Leroy as well, yeah. Sorry, I forgot Leroy. He was phenomenal. Yeah.
He's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. You wouldn't think he's 35, 36, would you?
No. Just the way he's played.
He played 80 minutes too?
Yeah, he did, yeah. I just hope he don't burn himself out doing that, though. You know, like, because of his age, if we just burn him out, playing him like that earlier in the season, it just burns him out towards the end, because I hope he was him.
Go on, sorry.
I just hope it don't burn him out, and they don't, you know, back end of the season he's not, didn't just, you know, falls out at team because he's burnt out with his age. But saying that, Chris Hill still does it, doesn't he? So why can't Leroy?
I don't think he will, for the fact that now Luke Yates is back. When you want to rest, and Harry Rushton's due back, when you actually want to rest him in a few games, you've got two perfectly good Super League 13s there.
I mean, I know we haven't seen Yates at 13 this year, but for me, Leroy looks better at 13 because I think Yates is limited with his handling skills. He runs the ball in better. He's a bit quick. His leg speed's quicker. He busts out of tackles easier because he's smaller. But he doesn't, attacking wise, I think Leroy makes it click a little bit better. He can offload. He can get, you know, he's got great handling skills. So I don't know. You know, that's why you're going to this week.
I'm with you on that, but we've also got Harry Rushton, who's more of a bulk.
Yeah, it was very similar, yeah. But it's how you fit all them people into team, innit, when they're all fit, that's the thing.
Well, that's the job, that's the coach's job, and it's why he gets paid the money to make sure that we've got the right team on at all times and, you know, rotate and all that. Yeah, we'll quickly touch on the Challenge Cup draw, which happened about an hour ago. We got Hull FC at home. Happy?
Fairly happy. It's one of them strange ones, isn't it, Hull? Because it's not... They've been poor. So they'll be looking to kickstart their season at some point. Do we play them the week after, or is it the week... 2 weeks after that as well?
3 weeks after. It's
2 weeks after, so...
In between.
You know, I'm not sure what fixture they've got next week before their... before Challenge Cup against us.
They've got Lee at home.
Lee at home.
Same time as us on Saturday.
I mean, given Lee's injuries with Lachlan Lamb now, I think that'd be a very even game. If not, probably back all to win that, actually, but they'll be up for it because they'll need to kickstart their season. And I think, you know, they're starting to get a few players back now. I think the suspensions will have finished by the time the players,
Pele's back,
you know, so it's one of them where it's not a big club like a St. Helens Wigan, so it's hard for players to get up for it. But you'd hope after Friday night and where they handled that they'll be bang up for it at home. But I'd have preferred a better fixture somewhere like Batley or Sheffield away would have been nice, but. I'll take not playing Saints or Wigan in this round.
Well, Leeds have got Saints, so that's one of them out at least. Not anything to add on that, on the cup draw?
No, it's one of them, like Jake said, it's one of them games where I think both teams are probably going confident they can win. You know, we were saying we should be winning at home. But again, if you don't win with the right attitude, then you're not going to win because they're a dangerous team if they click. And like Jake said, they're going to have players back, aren't they? So... One thing I do worry is we might be outnumbered in the stands. How many they may be over if it's a Saturday or Sunday. But I'll let the club worry about that, not me.
Yeah.
It tends to be the way with Challenge Cup games, doesn't it? It tends to, the home support decreases and the away support tends to increase. It's quite strange.
Yeah.
There'd be no benefit from the week before either because we both play at 3 p.m. on Saturday. So we're both playing at the same time. We're both going to get the same rest before games. So their game's obviously Good Friday. After and as in the Sunday, so we'll get longer. But
going back historically as well, sort of Hull have always sort of got the better of us most 8 times out of 10 at their place, and we generally get the better of them 8 times out of 10 at our place. So it's one of them where we'd, if we lose that game, I'd be disappointed, given the fact we've nearly got a fully fit squad now. Barring Savelio, I think next week when Greenwood and Rushton are back, I think we've got a fully fit squad, so we've got no excuses at all, really. It's that. Pumping it up a bit now.
And we did beat Hull FC at home on the way to reaching the final in 2022. So
Good omen.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we'll move on now. So the reserves lost to Castleford 36-30, I think it was. Jake, is that something that you're a bit concerned about?
I didn't go to a reserves game, but I saw the squad. When you're seeing players like Livette, Bibby, both Bibbies, you know, Rush, Connor Carr, Flanagan Jr., Billington, you know, all apart at first team squad, and then you look across at the you cast counterparts, and only two names I recognise were Kane Robb and Sammy Kabula. I think the rest looked like academy players. And then you see that you're 18-0 down with all them Super League players or fringe Super League players playing. Deakin as well, we're at 9. And question, I mean, I want that game, so I don't know if anyone got sent off, yellow carded or anything. But when you're going like 18-0 down or whatever it was, you're thinking, are some of these players good enough? And questions have got to be asked there. You know, players that are so-called Super League players and they're getting hammered by a bunch of academy kids. I mean, it ended up, I think, 36-30 to Cass. But, you know, we'll have had a few youngsters come on and replace some of those players halfway through the game, no doubt. But you'd be expecting us to win that comfortably, really.
Yeah, I suppose, on paper, you'd expect us to win. But Nat, do you share the concerns on that?
Not really, no. I think it's probably just a game to get first teamers out. You've got to bear in mind that I know the first teamers, but none of them have played a competitive game for 4 or 5 weeks because there's been training and none of them played in the first team. The pitch at Lawndale will be nothing compared to a Super League ground where they're going to play if they play Super League. Jake Bibby played second row, so he's a hard position. Jack Bibby, I like him, but I don't think he's going to be playing Super League this year unless we get loads of injuries. Jack Billington's still in a developing player. He'll probably go out on loan. Rush is probably still a bit behind. And I'm not saying they'll never make it to the field, but I'm just thinking of 2024. And there's only Tom Deakin. People obviously were like, I would disappoint you wanting the squad for Friday night, but we'll get on to that when we preview the new game. But
we can talk about that now, to be fair. So Tom Deakin has obviously come over from Australia. He's been in the 21-man squads and he's not featured yet. And obviously Milner was out on Friday and he still wasn't in the 18. I don't know. I've not seen him play in a proper game. I've seen highlights, but I've not seen him play. Have either of you guys seen him in action?
I've seen him at Wigan, in the reserves game at Wigan, but it were hard to judge that day because reserves got battered. Wigan had a few decent players out, Ecclesley, Liam Marshall, Miskey. And they got battered from minute one till very end. So it were hard to judge from that, really. But I think he played half a game or about 50 minutes and then came off. But like I said, they got hammered. So it were hard for him to stand out, really.
I've seen him in pre-season. He looked okay. Not great, not bad. Yeah. I keep saying it. We've got to remember, he's only 19, 20, whatever he is. He's used to playing on decks in Australia. So these hard...
Yeah,
you know, rough, wet pitches that are hard work are not going to suit him. I think when it gets to summer and the pitches dry up and harden up and it's fast flowing, you'll see the better of him then. I think we need to...
Maybe.
I kept saying about Jake Connell last year, how Jake was for 2-3 years. And I think Tom Deakin maybe for like that and maybe not for this year. Don't mind how disappointed he did play Friday night. And I thought, bloody hell, 2-8-9. I'm not sure how that'll work, but look, 2 went well at 9, so... No, there's what I got it right, but eventually I like to see you go maybe at London, you know. It's a football pitch that you think it'd be well looked after in Wimbledon, so maybe give them a go against them and see how they go. If we're resting a few or something like Wigan did, but
it's only fair to say, like, I thought Ash Golding, you know what you're getting from him, don't you? You're getting all energy running out of Dummy Hour.
But you get away with that with poorer teams, though. Whereas against the better teams, it becomes more apparent when somebody's not an out and out nine, and it's more noticeable, isn't it?
I think his best position is. I think it might be
Golding. He's getting better at nine, but I don't think he'll ever be a proper out and out nine where you'd want him as your starting nine, and you were confident you could win something with him as your starting number nine.
I think he's a good impact nine off the bench.
But yeah, but he's good to have in the squad. I mean, I thought we were going really well on wing the other year before we moved in front wing.
Yeah, he's just not.
He looked, but he's just not quite quick enough. But for me, it looks like they've bulked him out a bit like they did with Bruno, where he's getting a bit too big for his body shape and size. He looks a bit like a bit too big for me when you see him now compared to what he used to be like. So I don't know whether he'd ever be able to shed any weight off to get back into another position now. I don't know, but it's good to have him in the squad because he can play anywhere and, you know, you'll get a decent job out of him no matter where he plays, you know, but maybe nothing spectacular, but always, you know, given 100% shifting, you know, it's a...
Yeah, what do you reckon, that? He's a nine or just utility?
Utility. I'm happy to have him in squad. Like I say, if any injuries he fills in anyway. You know, when Milner got Simbin, he came on at 9. Milner came back on, we managed to move to 13 and get 20 minutes out of him at 13 to help Leroy out or might put Leroy at prop, but to help us Middlesbrough rotate. So he'll always put 100% in. He'll never let you down. He's good to have in middle because he's a decent, good defender, really good defender. So there's a big body in middle who can defend. So it's always good to have him anywhere you can get him. His energy is the best this club's got. And when you're struggling sometimes, if he's come off bench with his energy, then he can just lift everyone else around him. So I think he's got some really good traits, and I think that's why water sticks with him, no matter.
I think as well, he's a brilliant guy. He's he came down, obviously all the players came at the end, but he was last, him and Luke Yates were the last two there, you know, doing selfies. Nothing was too much trouble. Every time I've met him, he's been like, smile on his face. He's just a great guy to have around the club, I think. And say 1 week we did get battered, I think he's the kind of guy you want around training on Monday to, you know, pick everyone's spirits up and get that positive energy going. So, yeah, he's glad to have him at the club. Should we move on now? There was no women's game this weekend, but they are playing Hull KR at home. I think it's 12 o'clock kickoff at the John Smiths. So, yeah, try and get as many people down to that as we can. Should be a good event. Will you two be going to that?
I'll be doing my best to get down early, yeah, to at least catch second half. But if not, can get down for the whole thing, yeah.
Yeah, same here. Hopefully I'll catch it. I'm not sure I will, but if I can, then I most likely will do because they deserve a support just as any other Huddersfield team do.
Yep. Should be a good game. And it's good to have it on just before. It's a nice, good, you know, build-up for the Giants men's game as well. Which we'll move on to now. So we got Hull KR, 3 o'clock on Saturday. Jake, we'll start with you. Where do you see the keys to victory in this game?
Well, Hull KR are going to throw the ball about. We know that, and it's something we seem to struggle with still this year. I didn't feel like Cass did that too much on Friday, but Hull KR will. You know they will. I think stopping Mikey Lewis for me will be the main thing. I think he'll be their main threat. We never seem to struggle with Ryan Hall like some teams do. You know, we seem to struggle with players like Liam Marshall and wingers like that more than we struggle with Ryan Hall because it's slowed down a lot recently and we seem to muscle up quite well. I think if we can stop Mikey Lewis, nick close to try line, if we can get same completion rate as last week at Castleford at home or even just a little bit less than that, I'm not expecting us to compete at 93% against Hull KR, but I think that'll be keys to victory. I haven't been impressed with Hull KR since that first game where they played LFC. I think they've been quite poor in recent weeks. So if we turn up, I'm fully expecting us to win. Regarding team selection, I have a sneaky feeling, and we said it last week, that Watto likes to make room for his mates. I would not be shocked to see a bench of Ollie Wilson, Luke Yates, Tuil Olahea and Adam Milner on Saturday. Would not be shocked. Whether that's Milner to come on at loose forward, to spell with Leroy and Yates to play as a second prop, would not be shocked to see that.
We'll come back to team selection in a second. Nat, what are you expecting? How do you think the game will pan out on Saturday? Nat, has he gone?
I think he's nipped off, hasn't he?
He's nipped off. Oh.
I think important thing for us is to have a fast start again. You know, get on the scoreboard early. We've been renowned for going behind, haven't we, in recent years?
Yeah.
Quite more often than not. I think if we can get on front foot, we should be all right.
Yeah, I watched them against Warrington, and I've watched quite a few of their games, actually, this season. And they've looked, this sort of, 1 minute they look, you know, pretty decent, and then the next minute they sort of go missing and teams get at them. And Nat, you're back. Good.
Yeah, back. Sorry about that.
Yeah. No worries. Just how do you see the game going on Saturday, sort of like stylistically?
excuse me. Style-wise, hopefully we play the same we did at Cass. I think that'll cause them a few problems. Class KR, they had a good year last year, so I don't want to disrespect them too much because what they did were fantastic. But this year, they're nothing like they were last year. Yeah. I think the spine are really struggling. I'm not sure Hiku's a fullback. You're asking Mikey Lewis to control a game, which I think is just better to run. He tore Warrington apart by running, not really by controlling. So I think they lack a bit of control in the spine, but I think that'll come. The older Michael Lewis gets, because obviously he's a great player, we all know that. We think we've got more. We'll have more structure than OKR will. I've not really been that impressed with this year. Like I said, don't be too critical. We're only four or five rounds in, and you know they beat Leeds, they lost to Salford, lost to Warrington. It's definitely more winnable than I thought it would be when the fixtures got announced. You know, I looked at it thinking, geez. First to home game, Saints and OKR, that's going to be tough. But you look at it now, and to be honest, if we don't beat him at home, I think I'll be a bit disappointed. Yeah, you know, if we go off the back of Friday, and they go off the back of Friday, then I think we should be winning. So, they're just what I find OKR, and I say it to everyone, is no, no disrespect to them. They're a solid, solid team. They'll all work hard. They'll never get bad, but they'll never batter anyone. And even if they're losing, they'll always stick in the game and always be there around the 70th minute giving it a go because they're just solid. Like, the forwards are hard-working forwards. Nothing special. They all run hard, they all tackle hard, they all do the job. And they'll always stick in games. So I think it'll be a close game. I don't think anyone will wear it. It could be edging. It could be like the Warrington OKR game where the lead just swaps all the time and hopefully we come out on the end.
Mm. It'd be interesting to see because obviously, we've played Wigan and Saints, who are the best two. And then we've played Cass and Lee, who have not won a game yet. So we've got the same record as us so far this season. Played 2-1-2.
Yeah.
Played 4-1-2. So I think this game might show where we're at a bit more.
Yeah, the step up. That's our next step up. Yeah. Like I said, we've beaten two teams who haven't won. We've lost the two who were miles clear than everyone else. And I know... People might listen to me last week saying there weren't many teams that beat Sales and Salford being the week after, but being obviously the red card played a massive part in that. So, you know, I fancy us to beat Saints and Wigan if they go down to 12.
This goes back to what I was saying though. Saints got a man sent off, but if we played Saints with the style of rugby we usually play against Saints, it wouldn't have made a difference and we'd have still lost to Saints. Whereas Salford and teams like play the expansive rugby give themselves a chance when Saints go down a man. Lee, I thought we beat them when they probably had the better team out. Now they're getting a few injuries. I think Lee will really struggle and they'll carry on losing a few games. I imagine that Lee will probably be in the bottom three now, just in front of Salford and London. Because Salford, to the credit, have been better than I thought. They've handled the loss of the players much better than I thought they would. Thought they were good against
Cass and London,
yeah. But, I mean, Salford... have handled losing the players better than I thought they would. Thought they were good against OKR the other week, and obviously they beat St. Helens, so you can't knock them.
Yeah, they're pretty similar, don't they?
Without those. They do. I think Paul Rowley has them playing a certain way. I think they all know the job. They're quick. They throw the ball about. They know how to attack, I think. That's the main thing. I mean, defensively, they're not great, but...
I know they lost a few players, but there's still some very good players in that team.
Yeah, they do, yeah.
Mark Reed at 7, Brayley at 1.
Brayley's class, yeah.
McDonald's a good centre. McNuffaloon, when he's playing from a wing, he'll be one of the best wings in comp from NRL. So, again, they're like, okay, and the forwards, they're very hard-working. They're not the biggest pack either, so I think where Salford will struggle, and speaking of a Salford fan, I know he said they struggled in the first half with Saints forwards. I think if your forwards can get on top, that's where Salford will struggle, but like I said, they'll always score points with Schnee's kicking game and Brealey's pace and stuff, and you know, Kay Custin a bad player. So, but yeah, they've gone better than I thought they would. Fair play to them,
I've always thought Snead's a good player, and he's really stepped up since.
He's looking better as he gets older. Schnee, I thought other daily we were absolutely class in that. OKR game, you know, that I watched. Thought he was best player on pitch by country mile.
That last 10 minutes of Mark Sneary's eye control rugby game when you're winning.
Agree with that. But I'm like, you know, I'm a cast and then we lose to OKR at home, it sort of shows you where you're at, doesn't it? You know, if you can beat OKR and beat OKR convincingly, it shows me that we're going to be in top, potentially probably be in top six this year. Lose to OKR and then it's like, we're probably borderline below. I don't know.
It's a big game for us, especially.
Yeah, it's the game that will show us where we are, yeah.
We've a real chance now, I think, to put us foot down, like you said. Mm-hmm. Now we know it's cup draw. We've got Ulcar at home, Hull FC at home, London away, Hull FC away. You win that M4, you're in quarter finals at cup, you won 5 out of 7 at league, so you're probably starting top 4 or 5. And all of a sudden, you know, yeah, you've lost 2 games, but you've lost to Wigan and Saints.
Mm.
Other teams around us, like your Leeds, your Warringtons, your OKRs, we're thinking, and even the fans of other clubs were thinking, these aren't going to be finishing 9th or 10th like everyone predicted, and these are going to be tough to beat. And then you sort of get the 2022 positivity back and thinking, maybe it could be like 2022 rather than 2023. Yeah. But again, if you lose 3 in the next 4, then it deflates you. For me, it'll deflate your whole season.
Yeah, I think a win on Saturday is important because you want to be going into that OFC game week after on back of a win, not after on back of a loss, you know. Big game in Challenge Cup, and you want to be progressing that. You don't want to be knocked out at Challenge Cup in your first opportunity, do you? You know, and then it's one less thing to play for the rest of the year. You know, we've had many seasons like that before. So I think it's important that we win that Challenge Cup game as well, get some momentum going, and start to get a feel good factor back around play, especially at home.
Yeah. For me, it comes back to what Nat's first point when we were talking about the cast game, about the attitude and the intensity. And if we can keep that up, then the results will take care of themselves, mainly. You might lose the odd game, but I don't mind losing the odd game as long as the consistent performances and the attitude and intensity is there.
Like I said, though, the players coming back now, you've got Greenwood trying to get back into the squad. You've got Rushton that's chomping at a bit to get into the squad.
Hmm.
Wallace, I think, I mentioned a foot injury, so I don't know if that's 2 to 3 weeks or whatever, but he'll be wanting to replace Alsol and get straight back in squad. You know, so Alsol's got to perform. You know, if Savelio eventually gets back, you know, he'll be wanting to come back and get back in and take Ewitch's place in squad. You know, there's all them. So the players have got to be performing. So anyone's attitude's not right. They should be straight out at squad, no questions asked, you know.
Well, speaking of selection, Jake, I know you mentioned earlier what you think Watson might do, but
I think that I'd left at that point for a break, but I won't be surprised.
Tell us what you would do if you were
What I would do, I'd potentially replace Saliba with Harry Rushton or Joe Greenwood if they're available. I thought it were great again on Friday night, but I think when you've got a team like OKR that throw up ball about, you want players that are... I'd probably go Greenwood over Rushton, to be honest, if he's fit. Because he's more experienced, he's been there, he's been in NRL, he's played a lot of games. You know, we need someone that's got that steady head on them when they come on, rather than Saliba that's probably still a bit raw and potentially more error prone at this stage in his career. That's the only change I'd make. I'd stick with Golding and I'd stick with Tui after Friday night. But like I said, I think Watson will find a way of having Milner and Tui on bench. Or Golding and Tui on bench and starting Milner. Just going with 2 forwards, Yates and Wilson, I think.
Nat, what would you go with?
What would I go with? What do I think Watson will do?
Well, both.
I won't change it. I'd just leave the same 17 and say, go on. I think after scoring 50 points and playing so well, good luck having a conversation with any one of them players and say, you're not playing this week. I think it's very harsh, but don't change a winning team. It's my attitude, always has been. So, as far as I'm concerned, you've just put £50 on someone. I know they're on Castleford, and they, like I say, it probably looked better than it was because they give up, but they all played the part in it. It could have been any one of them could have got man at match. So, I won't change it. Leave them to go again. I know it's harsh because, you know, Milner's done really well to start the season, but you shouldn't have got yourself suspended. Sucks. I know you only do it on purpose, but, you know, that happens, that's rugby, innit? So I'd leave the same 17, but like Jake said, what I think Watson will do, I'm pretty sure Milner will start at 9. I'm not sure I never actually thought about him putting Gordon and Tony up bench, but then when you said it, mentally thought, well, Yates and Wilson to replace the two at prop, Gordon's corner 13 and give Leroy a spell. Probably not the worst if you want to get Milner in. I'm not thinking it'll work as a wing of a Saints, but okay, it could easily work. We just said about having Ashton Inks with his energy and his, you know, his big body in the middle. Well, just put him at 13, give us 10, 15 minutes of good leg speed, running ball, tackle your out. I don't think he'll let you down if you do that. So if he went with that, I won't be too disappointed, but it'd be harsh on Hugo. So again, he's done well. But
it's a Watson thing to do.
Yeah, it is, yeah. And that's why when he said it, I never thought about it. When he said it, I thought, you've got a point here. No, I don't like saying this, Jay, but you have a point here. I was like, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards that.
He'll keep Sam on bench even if Wallace is fit. I think he went well, so I don't think he'll change that. Who else did come in? Like I say, yeah, you've got Greenwood and Rushton, but if you drop two, you may have been one of them in, but again, I'm not sure he will, because forwards have gone well, haven't they? So I don't think there'll be many changes from him.
Yeah. So on the forwards, Seb on the quiet is having a good start to the season, I think.
Yeah. He looks good when he runs forward, believe it or not. I know it's simple as a rugby. Yeah. When he runs forward, he looks dangerous because he's a big lad. He can get a penalty and stuff. He's getting better defensively because he's getting fitter, playing bigger minutes.
Yeah, he just looks...
I'm a bit wary of him this year, but hands up.
Fully concentrated. Really well.
Like it's funny what last year of a deal does to people, though, isn't it?
Well, that's part of it, yeah.
Probably. Well, that might be why he's playing, and that's what Watson's
Which means if you are going to give him a new one, I wouldn't give it until the very end of the season.
Yeah, well, just going back to the team selection for this week, I probably would do. I'd get Milner back in, starting. I just think we need his leadership and control around the ruck. I probably would go with what you suggested. I'd have Tui on the bench to come on at 9 and Ash to play 13. So we'll see what happens. Move on to our predictions for the game now. We'll start with you, Nat, on this one. How do you see the game going?
As I said before, I think it'd be nip and tuck. Could be like the OKR Warrington game from this weekend just gone. I think it'll be close. Lead may change. But at home, not being impressed with OKR, I will say Giants by 8.
Jake?
26-16. Giants win.
Precise, I like it. Can I just go back to last week's predictions before Josh gives us his? And you were both very shocked when I said that we'd keep Cass to one try. And I said we'd win quite comfortably compared to you two. So yeah. I just want to clear the bragging rights for that that one from the Castleford one.
Yeah. I was a bit more pessimistic. I said they'd get... I think OKR, they've got points in them, haven't they? Let's be honest.
Yeah.
I think they'll be around the 20 mark. I'll try and keep them to 18. And I think, I think we can get 24. So I'll go 24-18.
That's it. Like you said, they've got points in them, haven't they? And you know that, you know, they're not great with the goal kicking once Cheslitting goes off.
Oh, yeah.
So, again, that could affect that. That will cost them games during the year. Hopefully it costs them on Saturday. Yeah. But like I say, if you can keep OKR to 3-0 tries, then I think you've done a good job. And you back yourself to score 4 at home, surely.
Yeah, absolutely.
So before we finish, what did everyone make of Innes Senior's performance? Still a Giants player by contract, but obviously on loan. But I don't think we'll ever see him again in a Giants shirt. But
he's not for me. He's never been.
Took his 2 tries well. Fair play to him. But
yeah, he took
his he wouldn't have scored them type of tries for us, would he?
I thought it was very quiet still within the whole game. But
he just didn't run the ball back well enough for me, but that's...
It looks like he's bulked up a bit to me, and I thought he made more yards than what he used to do for us, but...
Yeah, maybe a bit more. He was solid. Like I think he's a lower Super League / maybe top-end championship player.
Yeah.
I think Wallace is better, so...
Yeah.
Sam Allsall's definitely better. Wallace is better. Yeah. Obviously, Swift is way better. No, obviously, different stage of the career, so don't be too harsh on. And you say, well, you're not having Swift quality because obviously he's back end.
Yeah.
But Yeah, I think we've got the better end of the deal.
And did anyone see Fenton's performance against Wigan?
Yeah, I thought it went well going forward. Defence, I'm still a bit worried about him defensively.
Yeah,
but
it's difficult when you're defending in a London team,
when
though.
When you're spending 60% of the game defending, I agree.
I thought he had a good break, break and an offload, and then I thought he got done a couple of times with penalties that weren't penalties. The one with Dupree, where there was a bit of a clip going on, I thought they were all over him, and ref couldn't wait to blow a whistle.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that were a bit. That was obviously a penalty to Fenton, but
that's what happens when you play Wigan.
Yeah. So that game I did see, I thought the ref didn't help London out at all.
No.
He gave plenty of six agains on the last tackle, which you don't see very often.
He's very whistle happy, I think, is that James Van. He's had two good games before that, but didn't think he had a great game Saturday, but before that, his other two games, I thought he went well.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see whether Giants let Fenton play for London in the Cup, or whether we cup tie him.
After cup time, I think.
Yeah, because he's got a 2-week spell there, and then it's taking it a week by week basis, I think. So I doubt they'll let him play against us. I'd be shocked if they did.
Yeah, you don't want to.
I can't see him playing for us in cup either, to be honest with you.
If we've got that stage, and then we have like two or three props missing, then you don't want to be in a position where you can't play. Before we go, Nat, do you want a quick word on Block 7?
Yeah, just give a shout out to obviously anyone who's thinking of wanting to move and out with the atmosphere at the home games. Everyone's welcome in Block 7. There's no restrictions. Just come in, join us. You know, give me a shout on Facebook, Twitter, at the games. Anyone who's around there near the drum will all welcome you in with open arms. Everyone up there is just like-minded people who want to sit, sing and want to be around the atmosphere. We understand that not everyone wants to be like that, so don't be offended if you're not, you know, we understand that. You know, Jake don't sit with us, but we're good mates, you know. So, yeah, just if anyone wanted to come and help, then please just come up and join in. Like I say, if you want to try and you sit the opposite stand, then you can go to the ticket office and then we'll swap your ticket for you to come over. So don't feel like because you're trapped at that side of the stadium, you can't come across. You can't come across. So, yeah, just come across, help out if you want to be part of it.
Absolutely. More the merrier. Any other business before we go?
Not for me, thank you.
No, I'm good, thank you.
Nice one. Yeah. Well, yeah, thank you as always for listening. We will hopefully be back next week to review the whole KR game. But yeah, enjoy the game, whether you're there or watching it on TV, and hopefully we can get another win.